B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm looking for more wisdom about what we can do going forward to avoid something like this. So I go to a man who has more wisdom than I have about the subject, and that is the Reverend Corey Jones from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Burlington, New Jersey. How are you today, Reverend Jones?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well. Now, everything that's happening in the country, you see it, obviously. You're a black man in the community, separate from being a pastor. What is, if you could just say one thing off the top that could help us avoid this situation again? One thing, whether it's loving each other more. My word of the day today has been listening, how when we're around one another, we don't necessarily listen enough to one another. What's one thing we can do to start with to make things better so we aren't in this position again in another year, 2 years, 3 years, et cetera?
I think repentance is a critical word. From a spiritual perspective, repentance is more than just forgiveness. It's more than just saying, okay, I'm sorry, or I apologize, or, you know, oh, I didn't mean to cause this kind of trouble or this kind of harm. Repentance is literally a turning away from. It's a turning back to. And so it suggests an acknowledgement that something wrong is happening, something wrong was done. And it doesn't just stop there. It says that there's going to be a self-examination to say, okay, I see the error, I see the issue, and I will do everything in my power to ensure that that does not happen again. So repentance for me is a big word.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. One of the issues, we were talking about the quarterback for the Saints, Drew Brees, who seems like he's been in the league 19 years in a league that's 68% black, and it seems like he hasn't listened to his teammates to even know that there was a problem, to your point right there. So step one, it has to be that we have to acknowledge, one, that there is a problem, and then after that, you can be sorry and address it. But first things first, just acknowledge that it's even real.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a heart issue. It's a heart and a mind issue. I have to tell myself, you know, for instance, if I have a situation where I'm dealing with a family that they abuse one another, the husband abuses the wife abuses the husband, physically, mentally, whatever the case may be. And, they come into my office to talk to me about what happens in their household. Most of the time, I would probably guarantee all of the time that the abuse isn't the whole story. It's what causes the abuse. It's the anger issues. It's the resentment. It's the, you know, all of the other stuff that's in their hearts that causes them to abuse one another. And so in this world, we have to acknowledge and look at those issues that cause us, that make us behave in the way that we do. I was sorry to hear about Drew Brees. I thought it was really unfortunate. Sometimes we misconstrue, we misunderstand, we turn a blind eye to, we have our preconceived notions about what people are trying to accomplish when we view them through our own personal lenses. And it kind of looks like he got caught up in that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I've been, the word of the day for me has been listening. It's, and you do a lot of, when people do fellowship, when they're with one another, how can we communicate with each other better, in your opinion, Reverend Jones, going forward? Because it seems like there are more voices that don't look like us who are at least acknowledging the problem this time. It seems like in this moment, we have more allies that don't look like us than ever before with this issue. How can we better speak to one another, in your opinion, going forward, so that this can take hold and it doesn't go away in a week or two?
Yeah, I think the main thing you mentioned was clear right there. It's the listening piece. But it's not just the listening piece. It's listening with empathy. In other words, I just don't feel bad for you. I'm able to put myself in your shoes, right? So I'm from South Central LA, born and raised. And, you know, historically, we've had our issues with the police. And so for someone, a white person, to sit and have a conversation with me, they need to put themselves in my shoes as a black man growing up in South Central LA and understanding the dynamics of what's taking place. You've often heard of it in media and other people who talk about it, the conversation, right, that a black mother and father has to have with their child, right? The police conversation, the keep your hands on the steering wheel conversation, the yes, ma'am, the yes, sir conversation, the move slowly to the glove compartment conversation. And most of my white friends, they don't have to have that conversation with their kids.
Right.
And so it's important for them to listen, to understand, to have some empathy towards the dynamics, the situations, the circumstances, the environment that I have to navigate that they will most likely never have to navigate.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
We're speaking to Reverend Corey Jones. There are people call in that are very optimistic. I've had a lot of callers today. Some angry, obviously. Some also very pessimistic. They say that things can't get better. Things won't get better because they haven't gotten, because as far as we've come, we haven't come far enough. Do you think, Reverend, and I have an idea what your answer will be, but I don't know for sure. One, do you truly believe that it is hopeless? And then two, if it's not hopeless, how can we stay encouraged and stay positive as we move past this issue and the riots and the looting and everything?
So what you're speaking to now is a faith dilemma. And yes, I'm a pastor. Yes, I serve a congregation in New Jersey and all of that good stuff. And yes, I've been doing this a long time right now. But there is still a tension that exists within me between hope and hopelessness. Now, my faith leans me toward the hopeful side that things can get better. But I would be lying to you if I said that I didn't live in tension between the hope that things will get better and the hopelessness that things will never get better. Because there's one side of me that says, okay, it's been 401 years.
Right.
Will it ever go away? But then there's the other side of me where I have white colleagues who have said, you know, hey, we're going to preach on the subject of white privilege. We are going to call our congregations to a spirit of repentance. We are going to exorcise this demon of racism from our people and from this world. So if I have to lean in a certain direction, it would be on the hope.
You know, I appreciate that real answer. Sometimes I think people think that clergy or a pastor would be perfect. For you to admit that you have that tension as a pastor, I hope that gives some of the people that are listening and watching today an idea of how maybe I would feel, or a person who has not found God, for example, or has that kind of peace feels. People are clearly walking around with a lot all the time. And I understand there are people who have said, oh, this last week has been uncomfortable. And I've been trying to explain, well, for us, it's uncomfortable almost all the time. I think you know what I mean? Like that tension that you're talking about, we have all the time. And other people just seem to get it for this last week. And already they can't stand it. Imagine what it's like living our whole lives like that.
Oh, man, absolutely. I mean, I could go down the list from flying standby on a plane as a teenager in Louisiana, being placed on the back of an empty plane. The back of an empty plane.
Wow.
Because I was black. Or when being at the LA County Fair, they had a little white girl go in front of me on a ride, told me to stop and allow her to go when she was in the back of the line. They had it printed on the money, save our land, join the Klan. I've been called the N-word on the baseball field. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And until people can live in those shoes, that empathetic view, that I can see where you're coming from, where I can put myself in your shoes, and I can come to a place of repentance and acknowledgement of your pain, and that it's real, and that it exists, and that it's present. That's the only way.
Well, Reverend Jones, I want to thank you so much for your time. Great words. Stay encouraged out there. I know I'll try to stay encouraged. I think you informed some people. You helped some people today. Thanks so much. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your day.
Hey, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
All right. That's Pastor Corey Jones from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Burlington, New Jersey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.